Heights Baptist family, thank you for letting us come and share the burden to reach the Solomon Islands with the gospel. We can clearly see your desire to reach lost souls and a wonderful fellowship with you all. Continue the faithful service in the Lord. May our hearts continue to desire and hands something to continue to labor to see the gospel go everywhere. And then the Lee family, appreciate that. All right, so Brother Colt and everybody's got everything lined up for the yard sale. And there's a bunch of things in there, and I appreciate everyone that's come up and helped sort things out and get everything organized. We're looking forward to that. This Sunday, of course, is going to be celebrating Memorial Day weekend. And so, Lord willing, I'll have a Memorial Day message to help us with that. Brother James, get you going, Miss Blue. And then Sunday night, of course, we're going to be getting started with the interns. They'll be teaching their lessons on Sunday morning, but they'll be sharing and preaching this Sunday night. We're looking forward to that. And then they'll be off and running. And then, every Sunday and morning teaching different classes, and Sunday night, one of them or so will be preaching along the way to fill out this summer. Looking forward to that. Pray for my brother-in-law and sister. They're going to be headed out this way. They've got a wedding down in South Texas, Friday or maybe Saturday morning, I'm not sure. But they'll be up here on Wednesday afternoon and be here for the rest of the week and through the following Sunday morning service. So different ones. If you're wondering if you'll be able to see Angel, you will. But it'll be Wednesday night likely, and then Sunday morning. Only then they've got to get on back to Florida because she has open heart surgery on Tuesday. So be praying about that. She's still not having any major side effects or symptoms issues, with the valve. So that's good. So as long as she can stay healthy and go through it, they expect that her recovery time would be better even than it was before with all the valve issues, because she was having multiple problems during that time. So if you would, pray for my sis, okay? I know that you will. Romans chapter 1 in the book, Romans 1. Brother John, you want to give a quick report, update, what's going on?
Reuben is up and about. He's still in the hospital, but he's starting to walk.
Okay, good. That's a good report. Brother, we thank God for it. All right. Anybody got a word before we get started? Brother James, get Miss Blue, Miss Paula set up there. Got a praise? How about somebody's got a praise? Miss Evelyn?
I am a new grand aunt.
A new grand aunt.
Yes.
Amen. Well, congratulations. That is good. That is good. Well, praise the Lord for that. Another baby. All right, brother. 32 years today. Amen. And she put up with you all that time. Oh, 32 years. Happy anniversary. You're a fine couple. We thank God for you. Amen. Good. Good. That's good. 32 years today. She's blushing. She's still a blushing bride. See? What's that? She didn't know you were going to say it. We have to keep them, keep them in suspense. That seems to work real well. They never know what you're going to say. That kind of works most of the time. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, that's good. You've been 32 years? 32 years. Well, that's good. All right. The Houstons have an anniversary coming up in June, I think it is. Is that right? Somebody help me with June. Is it the 60th wedding anniversary? Is that Brother John? Am I?
Ours is Sunday. It would be 62.
62. 62. And the Houstons, I think, they have a milestone, you know, a decade anniversary coming up. And no, Courtney? Oh, well, you're moving around. If you move, I'm going to spot you over there, you know. So we want to kind of find, probably somebody slip around and see what you can find out about that.
Actually,
yes.
Andrew's birthday today. He's
30. Andrew turned 30, big 30-0, you know. Oh, man. 30 years old. Happy birthday. Is that why you wore a Hawaiian shirt or something like that? Yeah. Oh, you bought it as a new birthday shirt. Well, happy birthday.
He said he's an old guy now.
He's an old guy? 30. You got him beat? You turned 67 today. Well, how is it everybody's birthday or anniversary today?
Martha
Dinkle's birthday. Well, happy birthday to Martha. All right. Well, anybody else? You know, you have a dog with an anniversary or something, you know? Well, that's good. Yes, ma'am.
I'll be having a birthday in January.
That's awful nice to know. Anybody else going to have a birthday this year? Next year? Brother John, what can you do with a church like this, you know? Oh, you just got to love them, right? Just love them. Just love them. Yeah. Yeah. Brother Josh Jones must be doing pretty good. His girlfriend came back to church again, to visit church again. He didn't run her off from here, I guess, or we didn't, you know, maybe it's we. It's good to see her again Sunday night, and probably had something to do with him singing a special or something, you know, or playing a song. You played, and did a good job. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else got a word, Brother Rick?
Deborah Winter arrived today, and the tumors have not returned
Well, that's a great news. Those who don't know, I mean, Miss Jennifer, how many years ago was the first surgery? Boy, it was really touch and go. I mean, she could have easily been with the Lord, and then had a second surgery, and it was all touchy. But you know, the Lord preserved her life, and that's great news. Yes. Anybody else got some good news? Anybody going to get married next week that I don't know about? You know. Brother Daniel?
My dad, about 2 weeks ago, went in for an interview at the promotional thing, and he didn't get the job, and he was kind of disappointed. He about it, but he said he knows there's a lot of...
Well, we'll celebrate that anyway. Didn't get the job. Let's celebrate.
He went back because they said, well, there's another position opening up, and you'd be a good fit for that, too. So I'm going to go in and try for that, and that was his vice president of the trust thing that he works for. And they said, well, you're qualified, you got everything, but you just don't have enough experience yet.
You got the job. Yeah, and God take care of him. He'll be trained. They'll take care of him. You know, it's a higher attitude and trained skill, you know, so they'll be glad they got him. You bet. That's good. All right. All right. Hi. Yes, ma'am. Okay, Sherry, something. Sherry has something to say. Well, praise the Lord for that. We've kind of, different ones have even told me that you look like you're walking straighter. So, yeah, they're really just some observations. So, praise the Lord for that. All right, Romans chapter 1. Did I already announce that? Okay. No nation on the planet is ready for military action as the nation of Israel. And that would include, by far, in my estimation, the United States. They are on top of it. And matter of fact, they have to be much more as far as the regional issues that they face. When you think about the nation of Israel today facing her enemies really on all sides, even, of course, from the Mediterranean, the Gaza Strip, that's to the east there in the southern. That's where a lot of these rockets are coming from. You have to think about the word of readiness. When I was in Israel, men and women both were in the military. I think the girls, I say girls, young women, they served 2 years mandatory, and I think the guys have to serve 3 years, if I remember right. When I was there, it was really interesting. Years ago, and some soldiers, both men and girls, a group of soldiers in Tiberias wanted me to go spend the night with them on the top of a hotel building. Just go up there and just talk and visit. You know, they said they had a little fire up there, and they just, you know, some cots, and they just go bunk out up there and talk all night. And I really wanted to do that. I thought that would be really interesting. But I thought if our guide started looking for us and the tour guide, you know, they may send out a SOS or something, you know, Americans been taken hostage somewhere. But I would have really liked that opportunity just to have spent that night up there. You know, you say, well, I had a soft bed at the hotel, but I still would have preferred to spend the night with them just talking about a variety of different things. But there in Israel, they've learned even the hard way that you have to be ready. You have to be ready at all times. A jet can cross Israel in a minute to a minute and a half, cross the whole country. So that's fast. And so that's the reason that you see. I mean, girls, if you want to put the guys off, you just carry an M16 on your back and walk down the sidewalk or the road, because that's what they do. I mean, your age, they're walking down the sidewalk with an M16 on their back. And that's a good way to stop catcalls, you know. Somebody the other day in the news talking about they don't like men, you know, making calls towards them. And then I saw one of the comments, they just make themselves out to be hoochie girls all over the internet, but they don't want anybody giving them any catcalls, you know. Well, if they just put an M16 on their back, maybe that would take care of that. I don't know. It probably cut some guys up short. But they've learned the hard way that minutes matter in Israel. They have to be ready at all times. There's no picking around the bushes. They've got to be ready. They know within minutes they could be attacked. And that's the reason they carry live ammunition with them with those M16s. They're not like our soldiers down in Louisiana years ago, you know, after the hurricane, they let them have the rifle, but no ammunition. They have ammunition, okay? And it's not blanks. But they've learned they have to be ready. Years ago, the Prime Minister of England learned the hard way about the readiness of Israel. He was making his way from Egypt across the Sinai there to a conference. And he came within moments of really being shot down by two Israeli fighter aircraft and threatened to shoot his aircraft down because they thought, hey, this could be a terrorist attack. It doesn't take a great big airplane to have a bomb, a dirty bomb or whatever, you know, on it. But the air traffic controller spotted a suspicious aircraft coming across, of course, the Israeli airspace across the peninsula there. And they made several attempts by radio to contact the airplane, but the airplane, the pilot, never did report. Well, that's suspicious behavior. Scramble the jets. It's time to take them down. So the way they do that, understand, is they get up and they'll try to give them an opportunity to communicate. Maybe their radio is out or just whatever. So they will fly above them, kind of like forcing them down, and let them know in so many words or movements by the aircraft, if you do not respond, we're going to shoot you down. And of course, by that time, the pilot figures out, I guess I do need to communicate. And they communicated, and the prime minister didn't even know about it until they landed later, and it was on television. And he learned, well, I was that close to being shot down over his Israeli airspace. But he's not even aware of it. So the pilot was certainly not ready and on the job, but Israel was. And by the way, if you think, well, that seems strange, well, they were attacked just like that years ago, coming across from Egypt, pretending to be their friends, and coming after them. And, of course, you know the history of the Six-Day War. Nowhere does the need for readiness show up more than in military. We have to be ready. Have to be ready. You don't have an option. You've got to be ready, or if you are a target, you'll lose. You'll lose. You have to be ready. And we want our U.S. military, we want them to be ready at all times. At all times to be ready. We do. We want our military to be ready. It's imperative that soldiers be ready. It's a treasure. Readiness is always a treasure, many of our lives. And we have to get started. So it is also in the army of the Lord. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. The other day we were, I think it was, who was it we were singing? I mean, ever marching in the infantry. We're trying to get one of the little ones. Was it Clayton? We were trying to get him to do it, you know, because he likes that one. We're trying to get him to respond. You know, he's like a grandpa. Sometimes he responds, sometimes he's out, you know, out to lunch, and he just does his own thing. But I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never ride, or I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. You know, we want them to be ready, but we want to all be ready because we're all in the Lord's army. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, you're in the army. You're in the Lord's army. Now, salvation is called the new birth, and we understand physical birth perhaps a little bit better than spiritual birth. Because many of us have had children go through that. When a baby is born, they need a lot of attention, a lot of nourishment, and a lot of comfort, and a lot of care, a lot of care. You bring that first baby home from the nursing center or from the hospital, you've got to think about what's going to lie beyond this, okay? You've never had a little one at the house, so you're probably going to need a small bed, a crib. You're probably going to need, you know, baby blankets, something pretty soft. You don't want to put them in a tow sack, you know. They'll just be just, you know, fidgety and fussy because you put something itchy, you know, on their body. They're going to need something for milk if you're not nursing. They're going to need, you know, bottles. They're going to need, definitely going to need diapers, you know. I know none, our little boys can fill diapers around here, but our little girls, they never fill their diapers. But yeah, you're probably going to need diapers. Extra clothes, because sometimes they have a blowout. And it exceeds the length of the tightness of the diapers. It excels that, and it just goes out. I remember, I forget which one it was, but it was one of the Gaoso's children that we were watching them a few years back. And, I guess I need to check out. So I just did the dipstick thing, you know. And that was a mistake, you know. It's full, you know. So it's time to change that diaper. So you have to be ready at all times. And then you think, oh, I'm finally got to sleep. And then you hear the baby crying. Yeah, and it's like, man, you might just wish that you could just roll over in the bed and say, ah, they'll sleep it off. It'll be okay. But probably not. Probably not. And you're always waiting and looking forward to that day that they'll finally sleep through the night. You know, sleep through the night is almost like a miracle come true when they finally hit that spot. But parents have to be ready. You can't be thinking, okay, I just, you know, rented something to park out back. You've got a baby in the house and you've got to be ready to tend to that baby. And it takes a lot of diligence to be ready. Well, Paul wanted to go to the people, the church there in Rome, and he was ready. The Apostle Paul was a ready man. He was, you know, he was a man geared up, if you would. He had his bags and he was raring to go and desiring to go and ready to go. Of course, the Apostle Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. Prior, you know, he had murdered Christians, and persecuted the Lord's churches, the God of grace had not give up on him, and he was saved, and now he's out traveling, doing the work of God. And we talked about missions, you know, the last several weeks. But he's writing to the people, the church there in Rome, when he says in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's all introduction. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So he wants to go there. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. It's not you or me, it's us. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that ofttimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. One of the things I want you to see, four things here, depending on our time and how fast I can get through this. Readiness. You see, Paul had a readiness for the work of God. He was ready to get something done. Years ago, those young girls would come out of the dugouts, you know, and the tunnels, you know, and the football games, and they'd all come out there, and they'd all be hitting the sidelines. Are you ready? Let's get started. Are you ready? Let's get started. And those girls were doing all the cheers, you know. Are you ready? Let's get started. And if you want to get on the ball field, you need to be ready to go. You need to have your uniform, right? You need to have your equipment. You need to be on the right side of the field. You need to know which end is yours. I remember in college, you know, one of Dory's closest buddies, matter of fact, her best friend in college that died of an aneurysm. Well, she married kind of a pudgy guy that, you know, in Bible college, they're a little short on soccer players, and so they had a soccer team, and they put him down on goalie. You know, you kind of like, you block it, stick him down there, thinking he couldn't run that far, but he could just sit down there and kick the ball, you know, back and towards the other team. And so he got out there, and next thing you know, here comes the ball rolling towards him. He walks out there, that big leg, and he throws that leg up, and he misses the ball right in front of it. And, of course, what goes up must come down. And he just, boop, and kicked that ball, soccer ball, right in his own goal and scored for the opposing team. Well, that's not good preparedness. You need to know you're not supposed to put the ball in that net. You're supposed to put the ball in that other net down there. So you kind of need to know, if you play in basketball, you need to know which end is your, right? Your net. You want to score down there, not down here. How many of you have seen little kids play sometimes, and next thing you know, they get mixed up, and they make a basket, and it counts for the other team. Well, you want to be prepared. You need to know. I remember Courtney, bless her heart, I won't pick on her, but just a little bit. But I remember, boy, when she was playing shortstop and softball, and you'd always be yelling out there, be ready, know where you're going with the ball if you get the ball. Know where you're going with the ball. And she was, bless her heart, she was like a little squirrel when she'd get the ball. Now, the squirrel's in the middle of the road. You see a squirrel in the middle of the road, and you start running up on them, they panic. Which way to go? Which way to go? Which way to go? If you're not careful, you know, they're going to get squished on the road. Well, I mean, one time she made this fantastic stop. I mean, it just made the professionals look pathetic, you know. Pretty fast ground ball, pop, turned her back, pop, caught it like that. Man, she looked good. I'm like, that's my girl, look at that. Man! And then she, Now what do I do with it? Now what do you do? Throw it to first base, girl. What's the matter with you? Open your eyes. Know where you're going with the ball, right? Yeah, that's probably about what I said. You said right there in front of God and everybody? Yep, right there in front of everybody. Because you've got to know if the ball comes to you, where are you going to throw that ball? What are you going to do with the ball? You need to be ready. You need to know. Am I going to first base? Do I have a runner on second base? Do I need to hold the runner? Throw it to first base? What do I need to do? You need to be ready. You need to be ready. I've seen a baseball, I played a lot of baseball coming up, and I've seen guys even come to the plate to bat and not even have a bat. Like, what do you expect, you know? And we had an umpire. That's when we were little. And the umpire, his name was Mr. Cook, you know. And he was a good umpire. He was good to us boys, you know, small town. And he'd get up there and says, you know, he usually knew everybody by name, you know. You think you might need a bat, you know? You want me to go pick you out one? You think you can do that, you know? And he'd help us out, so they just didn't know what to do. You know, the coach was looking at somebody else, taking care of somebody else. But Paul was somebody who believed that he needed to be ready, and he was. He was ready to go, preaching and teaching them the work of the gospel, all that is involved in that. Look at verse 9. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." Look at verse 11. He says, "For I long to see you." I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm preparing to come see you. I want to be there that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Verse 15. "So as much as in me is, I am ready." I am ready. I don't have to get prepared. I'm already prepared. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Sometimes, you know, I'll walk in a Sunday morning and some of the men say, "Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?" You know, Brother Tom, he's a real kidder, Hurley, you know. And if you don't know Brother Tom, if you need a good laugh, you need to get to know Brother Tom. He's a real kidder. But he'll say, "I didn't have any place to go. I just stopped by here, saw some people driving, you know, cars here, thought I'd come see what's going on." But sometimes he'll say, "Have you got a good one for me today? I might just leave if you don't, you know." Just, you know, just having a good time. But being ready to go, it's important, right? Men, when your wives are still in the house and you're ready to go, you ever make the mistake of blowing the horn? Toot, toot. Toot, 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 toot. Toot, 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 toot. That's bad news. Why? Because, well, it doesn't take us near the time to get ready and beautiful like it does them, you know. Oh, you know something about that, do you? Throw a rock in amongst the dogs, and the one that yelps, that's the one that got hit. So you know what's going on at that house. All right? I didn't call you a dog. Well, I kind of did, but, you know. You sure are a pretty dog, though. Let me tell you that. You sure are. I'm just digging it deeper, deeper. But you know what I'm saying? There's such a thing as the joys of being ready to go. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Normally, if somebody in my house says, "Are you ready to go?" it's me. "Are you ready to go?" "Well, yeah, I'm ready to go." And then 10 minutes later, "Are you ready? Really ready to go?" You know, because it seems like ready to go is relevant to what else you can think of on the way out that you might need to do. Well, Paul was ready to go, preach and teach, do the work of God. He said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Now, the word "work" appears over 400 times in the Bible. People, especially Christians, shouldn't be afraid of work. And if you're going to go to work, you need to be prepared to go to work. You know, I understand that a lot of people are now doing satellite or working from home, off-site. Huh? Remote working. That has nothing to do with the television remote. Probably does, if you just knew the truth, you know. There's probably some that are supposed to be remotely working that are just playing with the remote. Because I understand some of those companies are saying, you guys are going to have to come back to work. We're here where we can kind of watch you. Some I know companies, they have capacities to be able to do better than that. But Christians should be willing and ready to go to work. Go to work. I've given my business card, I don't know how many beggars on the street corners, and I've never yet had one that came to church to do work, which I would have paid them good to do. But I've never had one. Not one. You say you want to work, here's my business card. You can come work. Come work tomorrow. Work all day and I'll pay you good. Not one has ever showed up. Now, the truth is most people like this don't want to work for a living. They want to be giving a living. They're not really interested in working for it at all. But Christians need to be ready to work and to contribute with our own gifts that we have. God never asks you to work, to preach, to teach, or to do anything that He hasn't gifted you, enabled you to do. All right? So He's not asking you to do something you can't do. Now, I don't mean that, you know, something Brother Doff, you know, is always said, I never found it to be credible, but he always said he was so shy he couldn't have said anything, you know, somebody when he was younger, because he was anything but shy here. I mean, you wouldn't think there was a shy bone in his body ever. But I'll take the word. I'll take his word on it a little bit, you know. But he was shy, and so he had to step out of his comfort zone to learn to become a public speaker. So just because, you know, you don't think you're necessarily gifted for something, sometimes we have to work through, you know, kind of training time or facing our discomfort levels and things like that to do things. And next thing you know, doing pretty good. I mean, we've got people right in here who have become teachers who told me years ago, I'm not a teacher. They go, oh, no, please don't put me in there, you know. But they're teaching today. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at a great passage of gifts, diversity of gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities, differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith of the same Spirit, to another gifts of the healing of the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, you see prophecy on down. But all these things, verse 11, all these things worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot, now here we get to the text. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Well, that'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? I mean, how would you like to have a body that's just made up of an eye? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Can I tell you, my baby toe still hurts. After all this time, my baby toe still hurts. Now, in our home, I sleep on this side. Miss Dory sleeps on this side. Yes, we do sleep together. We have a license for that. But she has what is called restless leg syndrome. And now, sometimes I'll sleep with this. This is the baby toe that got injured. And I'll sleep with that instead of over here. I'll just kind of turn it like that. Because it still hurts. If she kicks me on that foot, it hurts. After all these months, it hurts. If I ever go back to that diner, to that chunky girl, I'm going to have some words for her. I tell you, I'm going to have some words for her because she crippled me for life. You know, I mean, it's bad enough I dropped that candle on my little toe and barefooted, you know, and broke my toe. But then I told you, I'm sitting there, I'm trying to be careful, trying to be wise, Brother Jim, Miss Edna, they're across the table from us, and we're eating our Indian tacos there, you know. And so I didn't want Brother Jim to put his cowboy boots on my toe, so I stuck it out here just a little bit. You know, just got to protect this. It was sore. And this girl, this woman, I should say, she's over here taking the order just off the corner, you know, from us. And she turned, after she took their order to turn, and stepped right on that toe and just twisted it. And I yelled out when she hit it, and then she, whatsoever thy hand defined to do, she let me, she, like a corkscrew, on that baby toe. I don't think often about hitting a woman, but I thought about it then. She said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm not okay." You know, it still is a problem. I am telling you, you may think a baby toe's not important, but I'm here to tell you, I'd have a better attitude in church most days if my little toe didn't hurt. So it's important that our little toe not hurt, right? It's important. It seems to be unimportant, but it's actually pretty important, right? How much does it take for you to say, "Ow, a little thorn"? Put a little thorn under your fingernail. Run a little thorn up underneath there. You know, you're scraping wood or something. You just, ow, oh, right? It gets all of your attention. It gets all of your attention. We may think that we don't need to be ready to do our particular work in the things of God, but you're wrong. You need to be ready just as much as the preacher needs to be ready, right? You need to be ready. So if you're going in there and you're doing the nursery work, you need to be ready. Well, how do you need to be ready? Well, probably need to get some rest the night before, right? You need to get in there and you need to be ready. So if you have a problem with back spasms, you might want to take a couple of ibuprofen before you come to church, you know. You need to be ready. You need to be in there watching out for the kids. And you need to know which ones are a little bit of a booger. You have to dwell with some knowledge, right? You have to be ready for this. You need to be ready to come to church. You need to be taught. You need to have a spirit that's teachable. You need to be ready. It's not just a matter of, okay, we want the preacher to be ready, but I have nothing to do with the health of our church. I have nothing to do with the health of God's word. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The blessed Son of God said this, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Paul had this to say about the sluggers there at Thessalonica. He says, "If any would not work, neither should he eat." D.L. Moody, who did not go to seminary, but he started a school, started a Bible school. He says, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do." But we have to be ready to do it. We have to have a desire, not to be a hearer only, but a doer of the word. Now, I cannot count the times when I asked a church member if about something or would they help with something here at this church in the last, you know, 15 to 20 years. I mean, if you've been here long enough, you have seen a spirit come to this church in the last 20 years that if you didn't have it, you wouldn't know how that you ought to be thanking God for it. It's a willingness, a desire to be kind to one another, to be helpful. And I can't count the times that I've asked somebody, "Hey, would you help me?" Whatever. I mean, I won't even get it out what I'm wanting help for. And they'll already be responding, "Whatever you need, preacher, you just let me know. When you need me to come, what time, you let me know." It wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that. Just the willingness, I'm ready, whatever you need. You need help doing this, you need help doing that, whatever you need, you let me know, and I'll be there. And I personally just want to thank you for that. It's a wonderful blessing to know that if you need help on anything, listen, on anything, in my heart, I know that I can ask our church for anything that I need. Ministry, whatever the case may be. And I know there will be people that will respond. I know there will be. And it's a great confidence that I know if I need you, I can ask you and you'll be coming. Just you'll be coming, you'll be responding. Why? Because you're ready. You already have a heart for work, a heart for preaching, a heart for teaching. You're looking forward to the opportunity. When, you know, we're going to have some dates that are out this summer, and I put out a list and I asked different men, you know, would you be willing to preach and cover for me this? Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Yes. Right down the line. And it was organized and done in a short period of time. Years ago, but well, you know, I just don't know if I'm really the person to do that kind of thing, you know. Everyone, bam, 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 bam. Why? You're ready. You're ready to serve. Another mark of a Christian who's ready, they're ready to suffer. Now, that's different. A lot of people want to, willing to serve, are not necessarily willing to suffer. Suffering's a different thing. So I think the Lord said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Suffering is a different thing. A lot of people want to serve if you kind of follow like the charismatic notion that you're going to get happy and healthy and wealthy. Then okay, I'm in. But if it's a matter of, well, you're going to have to suffer for the Lord. Who was it, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, is now really predicting almost a doomsday. I saw in the news about Christians, everybody going after Christians. And I don't know. And by the way, all the demons have not been released on earth. There are demons who are bound in hell. And there are demons of those who are bound in hell are going to be released later. So just for theological fact of the matter, that's not true. Okay? All demons of hell haven't been released on earth. Just fun facts to know and tell. So. But it is true that things look like they're going to get more difficult. Okay? I'm prayerful. Honestly, I'm prayerful that there will be somewhat of a silent majority. I was talking to Brother James yesterday, kind of a silent majority and some a pushback on this thing with the beer thing and Target. Man, I'd love to see them just go bankrupt. They just have to file bankruptcy. I really would. Target may be your favorite store. That's somebody said. I wouldn't have said that. You didn't. I did. Okay? But a lot of Christians are not willing to suffer. They'll serve God as long as things are going well, but they're not willing to suffer for it. But Paul said here in verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, whom I serve," obedience to God, "with my spirit, with my whole heart, sincerely devoted to Christ." Verse 15 says, "So as much as in me is, everything I've got." That's not someone who's looking for a way out. That's someone who's looking for a way in, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. I was talking to guys, I think the other day, about Brother Sam Davison. And one of the things that I used to try to determine, are we going to be able to, you know, build a bridge to Heartland, you know, years ago, is I wanted to know the truth about some things that took place out there in California. There's a lot of scuttlebutt, you know, and I wanted to know the truth of it. And I learned the truth of it. And I learned that he bled well, like all bleeds well. He can suffer and keep going. He can suffer and keep going. Well, if you want to work with somebody, you want to go on with them for quite a while, you kind of want to know, can they suffer and keep going, or are they going to quit first time somebody gives them a good shot in the jaw? I'm out. I don't want to be criticized, so I'm out. No. The Lord says this, "The watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is weak. Now, giving all that you have means paying a price. Acts 9:16, "For I will show you how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And he did. Paul really did suffer for the Lord. To the Philippians, Paul said, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Suffering is normal for the Christian experience. If they hated me without a cause, they certainly will hate you. They'll hate us. We shouldn't be surprised when the world is just not tickled with us. I mean, if Behar was tickled with a Christian, you probably need to take her temperature because she's probably sick. Well, she is sick, but that's another thing altogether. But the Bible says, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Paul told Timothy, the last book to him, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So if you're one of these Christians, you just kind of bump along and everything's cool. You know, you and Jesus kind of got your own thing going, WWJ, all that kind of stuff. You're just a pop Christian. They're not going to give you too much grief. Why? Because you're okay with homosexual marriage. You're okay with all kinds of foolishness and wickedness. You're perfectly fine. You've got a lesbian preacher. You're perfectly fine. You fit right in with the woke crowd. But if you live truly a righteous life and right is right and wrong is wrong, there's going to be a rub. There's going to be a rub, and you've got to be ready for the friction. Paul was ready for that friction. Now, let's see, what can I throw out here and get on to the next point? Okay, let's just jump down to verse 16. So you have to be ready, number three, ready to stand alone. Ready to stand alone. Most of us, if we're going to suffer, we'd like to have somebody to suffer along with us. We would, let's be honest. We'd like to have somebody to suffer along with us. You know, if you're getting beat down on a football team or just whatever, at least you got your teammates, you know. You're all going through it together. If you're suffering, you have a family, you're suffering together, you got your family. You go home to your wife, you go home to your husband, you got that, you know, to go through. You're suffering as a church family, you've got that to go through. But Christians need also, in this readiness of our Christian life, we need to be ready to suffer, but even to stand alone and suffer. Now, most of you work at secular places of employment. You may or you may not have other Christians there that work with you. Of those who say that they are Christians, some are not going to stand by your side. They'll let you be brutalized without saying a word. They will. It's just the nature. And maybe you would have been one of those in times past. And so if we're going to really learn how to be ready to serve the Lord, we have to be willing to stand alone if need be. Stand alone. And that's a lot easier said than done. Suffering, that's another level. This is yet another level. Suffering, standing alone. When you feel like you're the only one in the crowd who loves Jesus, you know what it's like to feel alone. You know what it's like to be in a hostile environment in a workplace. It's anything but Sunday school time. Anything but. Somebody says, well, we have policies against that. We ought to tell half the companies in the United States then, because they haven't picked up on it yet. Either HR departments or something, they just ignore it. It's not real. There's still a lot of places that the places of employment are as wicked as a bar on Friday night. They really are. And if you're going to learn to stand as Christian, all the Facebook, everybody's doing the social media, you may be the only one in your entire office that'll say, I don't think that's right. And you'll get those looks. You know it. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be the only one? I thought when we were fighting alcohol in the city of Garland, I thought, well, we'll be able to get several preachers on board and church members, and boy, we'll have good support fighting alcohol coming to our cities. Three. That was including me and two others. Only three pastors There are more than three independent Baptist churches in Garland. And we were the only independent Baptist church in the fight. We were the only Baptist church in the fight. All of a sudden, what I thought was a pretty strong Christian town, you know. I mean, there's some other churches, sister churches here. We can push this thing back, you know, and we can take a stand against this. And all of a sudden, I felt very alone. You mean there's not another Baptist brother that's willing to say no? I mean Baptist brother, I'm talking about a preacher. Not just a layperson, a preacher. They'll do what they want to do. Well, they always will if we approach it like this. It's quite alone sometimes, you know. Quite alone. We got out here, did the same thing, fought in Rowlett, Texas. Then over here in Plano with the bathroom law, you know. And I got more hate mail about all of that than I did about taking a stand, just making a simple contrast about Christianity and Islam. Oh, you can't take a stand on that. Well, you mean you would want somebody to walk in on your mother? Is that what you really want? Well, if I don't want that for my mother, why would I want it for anybody else's mother? So it's time to take a stand. And you walk in, you know, there's a meeting over here at the library, and you walk in there. And this time, there's a number of preachers who are there. Not near as many as make up all the congregations in Plano. A few. Wasn't entirely alone. But you feel quite alone. Vulnerable. You ever been in a bad situation? Years ago, I told Brother Yokel about this not long ago. Miss Dory, she's got to go, you know, middle of the night, and we're traveling. It's a bad part of Louisiana. She's got to go, and scared me to death. I mean, we ended up in a bad place, dangerous place, and I was scared to death. I was alone. I'd much rather have pulled up there with a church bus, you know, and have 25 men get off, 25 ladies, half the men are armed. I'd feel much safer getting off and have to go to that little room than I did that night. It was me and about 20 other men. And nobody was on my side. Alone. If we're going to be ready to do what we need to do in this age, we've got to be learning, ready to work, ready to go do the work of God. We have to be ready and willing to suffer for the Lord. And in our workplaces, growingly so, I would think, growingly so, ready to stand alone if need be. The good news, I will tell you, If you will stand, even alone, just one, don't be surprised if somebody else says something in favor of what you just said. I've told you before about the class I was in years ago, human sexuality, and oh boy, now wasn't at a Bible school, this was at that other kind of school. And it was a very uncomfortable setting for me, and all the way down to the end. Now we got to give testimony about our worldview. So I go to the teacher. How can I explain my worldview without exposing who I am? People have shared all kinds of personal things in that classroom, and it was not for Sunday school. And it finally comes around to me, and nobody has said anything remotely Christian in that class, including the teacher. And I said, well, there's no way that I can share my worldview without telling you who I am and what I do. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And oh, buddy. Oh, it was shock time, you know. Mouth drop, young girls, what they had said. It's almost like the Holy Spirit was over there and they were in big trouble. Next thing I know, started going backwards and come all the way around the room. And I was like third from the end to the teacher, all the way back around the room. Well, I used to go to church and my grandmama used to take me to church and Sunday school. And I'm ashamed. And I should get back in church. Now, was I nervous about that? Could they ridicule me? Oh, they could. They could. There is probably half of them in the class were girls, and nobody can ridicule you as good as a girl can. I mean, they can make you feel low, low, low. But I stood up in that class. One. In the whole class. The next thing you know, it sounded like a little revival coming out. You said, man, we went from the club to the Sunday school hour. Even the teacher. We went out that night, and we're going, I think, Chili's or something like that. And the teacher pointed to me, says, Pastor, would you mind praying for the meal? I'd be glad to. Boy, I worked the gospel in, you know, I laid it all down, you know. I'm just here to tell you, if we'll have the boldness to just do what's right, be ready, and to do what's right, to give that answer of the hope that lies within you, God will do some great, mighty things, and you'll be shocked, you'll be surprised what God can do by just our little bit. But you have to be ready. You have to be ready. And dear saint, it's not going to get easier. It doesn't look like it anyway. There may be a revival tonight. Praise God. May it come. But you have to be ready. Be ready. Let's stand for prayer.